At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
What's up, you guys? Welcome to Fightful. Sean Ross Sapp here. It is August 31st, 2025. Your WWE Clash in Paris review. I apologize. There's news coming in fast and furious as a result of FightfulSelect.com. We have quite an interesting report. I'll just go ahead and tell you guys. It's a report regarding AJ Lee. FightfulSelect.com, best $5.99 a month in the business. Whew, we would greatly appreciate you subscribing to that news every day, exclusive news every day, Discord access. You'll get a bonus post show for all PLEs. You get my Q&A every week. You get Q&A articles every single day, $5.99 a month. We would greatly appreciate it. But if you're here right now, leave a thumbs up on this video. We multi-stream and broadcast this so many different places. We have Twitter, X, Twitch, Facebook, my Facebook as well. So we would greatly appreciate you guys checking out just a variety of places that we do that. Also, podcast platforms everywhere. So if you want to send in a super chat or a humper chat, we would greatly appreciate that. That gets your question or statement read on the air. And there's plenty to talk about today. Our great moderator, Luis, is right here. But let's go ahead and talk about this WWE Clash in Paris show. Great crowd. Long show, four-hour show. Oh, man. Plenty to get into. The AJ Lee thing is pretty interesting, huh? I've been tinkering around and needling at people about this for a little while. And it's one of those things where WWE is, they are legitimately doing way better at like keeping secrets, but you can tell that they're making a conscious effort to, which good for them. It's my job to figure stuff out. But as soon as that tease happened, and I say tease, Becky Lynch showing up, it definitely got the messages flowing there. Tim says, happy belated birthday, SRS. Thank you so much. Thank you, everybody, for the birthday love. We would greatly appreciate it. Hey, if you want to give me a great birthday gift, go over and subscribe to FightfulSelect.com. It would mean a lot. Happy RK says, I normally appreciate WWE and AEW for what they were, but after Forbidden Door, this is one painful watch. So slow, the nearly hour-long first match sucked a lot of life out of the crowd. I aged during that segment. It was a very long segment. It was like, listen, I'm not big on any wrestling shows that are going 4 or 5 hours. Like, that's just not for me. So this show did drag on for me, but I enjoyed the show once everything was there, like past the entrances and all that stuff. Like, I had a good time watching this show. It did feel very long. And when it's 6 matches that are 4 hours, man, it feels even longer, right? Like, it's quite heavy there. But we had Jelly Roll, Post Malone in Paris. Post Malone looked like he was having a hoot at this show. He seemed like he was going to be the type of person that immediately comes back and says, you know what? I want to do a WWE theme. He looked like he was having a good old time. So good for him. Good for him. But we had Roman Reigns versus Bronson Reed to kick this show off. And this one did last a very long time. And yeah, I've got some mixed feelings on a lot of this, because I like this style of wrestling. I'm I'm entertained by it, but there certainly is a formula. And we used to hear, oh, well, it just moves and there's not a lot of selling. I mean, there's plenty of selling and all that stuff, but there isn't as much psychology. Like, there isn't as much, we're going to work a leg, we're going to work a knee. I'm not saying anything's wrong with that, but certainly the PLE formula is that of signature move, big move, big move. That was like all day long, but especially like Roman Reigns and John Cena matches, to the point to where later on they were just stealing other people's moves too. I say stealing in a very non-malicious manner. Nobody owns a move, but it does make me wonder, like, okay, if these high-level top talent don't get over those signature moves with some level of familiarity, a lot of people aren't going to react to a lot of these spots, because that's the method these days. And that's the way that pro wrestling works for this audience these days. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that, because ultimately it is what the audience reacts to and what the audience likes. So you have to cater to them, even though it's not the same way that old school people would have done it. It's not the way that a whole lot of people were trained. It's not the same way that traditionally wrestling has been, but it doesn't mean that it's wrong or anything, but it certainly is a formula, and it is a very recognizable formula. That being said, like, man, Bronson Reed, I had somebody ask me on the Fightful Select Q&A, like, how would you book the Vision splitting? So it, or the Vision, so it's not just Judgment Day. And honestly, I think the Vision should be a short-term stable. Bron Breakker seemed poised to break out and be a top guy before this. And Bronson Reed in kayfabe already knows that he can compete with a guy like Seth Rollins, right? And I think that overall in pro wrestling over the last five years, Bloodline, Judgment Day, Death Riders, like, it's like, man, those could all be good, but I don't know that we need to necessarily see that. I don't know that we need another one of those. So I would go the Bron Breakker is Batista route and have him like lead into something. Because to me, before I get into this match, there's one specific element of the Vision that really piqued my interest. Because when Seth Rollins came back, he claimed that the only people that he told, which, you know, isn't true, it's kayfabe, the only people he told about his fake injury were Becky Lynch and Paul Heyman, which is interesting because Bron Breakker, multiple times, including in our interview with him that Kate did, he said, I'm the leader now. And I'm waiting for the moment where Bron Breakker upsets a little bit, and then Seth Rollins is like, you thought you were the leader? That's cute. You were never going to be the leader. In fact, Bronson would have been the leader if you weren't here. That would have been really interesting. But Roman Reigns defeated Bronson Reed. This was like a 40-45 minute segment. I mean, let me see how long this went towards the start of the show, because it was a very, very long one. But there were a couple spots that I really thought were just exceptional. Bronson Reed absorbing the spear and then going into the powerbomb. It feels like you don't see Roman Reigns getting powerbombed that often, right? But like I said, it's very formulaic. So with Roman Reigns, you're mainly going to see him do spear, Superman punch, Samoan drop, stuff like that. Barricade spear, all that stuff. So it's going to be a very, very specific formula for him. You need those signatures to get over, and that is the main event style of WWE now. And almost every company sort of has one, and WWE has found the one that specifically works for their audience to get them to react, put asses in seats, and all that. So that is what the audience wants. And then when you can expand on that and they go out and they do other stuff, it's usually something that somebody else has gotten over. But Roman Reigns ends up winning this. The crowd was there for all of it. Like, I don't agree that the like life was sucked out of the crowd or anything like that. I just think that it was a hot, emotional segment. And then the aftermath drew a lot of emotion as well. And I think that as I look, man, it was still going on 50 something minutes into the show.
Woo.
Yeah, like 53 minutes into the show. But after this match, Roman Reigns takes out Paul Heyman, chokes out Paul Heyman. You get Paul Heyman the hell out of there. Shout out to our friend Lucas in the chat. You get him the hell out of there. Roman steals back the Shula Fala, which I think is a phenomenal bit for Bronson Reed. Like, that highlights his sort of tone and his comedy and his personality, that he was able to steal those, put them around his neck, call them the Shula Fala, get a shirt off of it, and get a PLE match off of it, to where that became effectively what was defended here. Because we don't need to see Roman Reigns in the world title picture right now. But like, what we do see is him win something back. And Roman Reigns, of course, is like, it's more of a respect thing. And I saw people tweeting like, if he's just going to throw him out in the crowd, why did he do? Like, come on. We know that Roman Reigns can afford more shoes. We know he's going to be all right with shoes. Jey Uso talked about how he buys new Air Force Ones every single match, which, by the way, have no idea how he wrestles in those things. But Roman was doing it out of a thing of respect. And listen, if you're getting your shoe stolen, thrown over the power line, that is a respect issue there. But Roman signs the shoes, throws them out, and Bron Breakker shows up, hits that spear through the barricade, and they beat the snot. They being Bronson Reed, who came back. They beat the snot out of Roman Reigns. Like, they really put the pain on him. Now, there's a lot of good and a lot of like, okay to this for me. So, like, it feels like every 3 months, Roman Reigns gets written off, right? And I'm like, well, one, he doesn't have a lot of friends, as he shouldn't. Jey Uso waited a long time to come out there, but listen to me, guys. If I'm Jey Uso, I'm taking my time too. Maybe he was backstage taking a shit, and he wanted to make sure he was good and clean before helping out Roman Reigns, because when has Roman Reigns ever been there for him in a timely manner, right? Roman Reigns takes his sweet time getting anywhere. Like, you want to talk about the Mount Rushmore of taking their sweet ass time? It's CM Punk and Roman Reigns, just with the Paul Heyman thing. It is Adam Edgeland Cope saving Christian at All In. And it is Jeff Hardy dancing his way to the ring. So why are you going to rush to the ring to help this guy who takes his sweet time? Why? Travis Scott. Listen, okay, Travis Scott's got to unseat. Got to unseat CM Punk. Because, like, the CM Punk thing, I think, was actually meant for the story. The other ones just take their sweet time. But yeah, Travis Scott's got to be up there. Travis Scott probably chiseled the thing. But also, I'm like, man, Roman Reigns gets written off a lot, right? Like, Roman Reigns, who was, by the way, our MyBookie AG favorite. We gave you those betting tips on Fightful Select. It was, he gets written off an awful lot on TV. Now, backstage, Adam Pearce is livid. And this is, like, what I've been waiting for out of an authority figure. And I understand in pro wrestling, like, chaos has to rule a little bit. But, like, Adam Pearce over the last couple of years, like, has just let chaos rule all over his show, especially, like, with the Judgment Day and other stables. And he hasn't maintained a lot of order. It's just, oh, my God, I can't believe this. I need a drink. And I want to say this. Adam Pearce, the character, not Adam Pearce, the man. But he bans Bron Breakker and Bronson Reed from the building. And they're like, we'll do what we want. And they're like, yeah, well, you're going to be suspended indefinitely without pay otherwise. So you kind of knew somebody was going to get involved in the main event. Because one, it's WWE. Two, it's a bunch of Raw superstars. And like, we're looking at, I think it's 8 straight WWE Raw main events now, or Raw centric main events. Probably 9 if you include the cash in that have resulted in like a DQ or some interference. But Adam Pearce had some balls on the show.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key, and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only.
Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
But, man, my phone is blowing up right now. Insane. It's unreal right now. And y'all know what it's about, too. But Roman Reigns gets like taken out a lot. And it's like, we know he's on a part-time schedule. And anybody watching the show can tell. It's like, bro's got to go do Street Fighter, which Cody Rhodes is already off doing. He had a picture posted with the cast today. But I'm like, damn, man, how many times is this? Like, we could probably do a top 10 list of times Roman Reigns is written off TV at this stage. Well, my friends, I hope you don't write yourselves off in the betting game. With MyBookieAG, you get a $50 bonus on a $100 deposit or a $100 bonus on a $200 deposit. And they had the odds up for today's show. We're going to be going through them all throughout the day, but they hit 100% on their bets. But it's not just that. College football season is back at MyBookieAG and really everywhere. But also NFL season this week, I am pumped. Basketball season right around the corner too. You get up to a $500 bet back bonus at MyBookieAG, where you can bet on anything, anywhere, anytime. New customers only. But you also get a 150% casino bonus up to $750. They're giving away free money. You can bet with Bitcoin if you still got that. They got slot games, all kinds of stuff. If you need help figuring it out, they got account management available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week to offer assistance and aid for all your concerns by phone, email, chat. Now, I only want you to bet what you can, and please bet responsibly. But you boys now are 32 of 33 in lock picks. And the only one we missed is because of that damn jelly roll, politicking to lose, 32 of 33. Like, could you imagine hitting, if you hit 32 of 33 free throws, for the love of God, you were the greatest of all time. 96.9%, MyBookieAG. Check it out. Oh, get your super chat. Get your humper chat in. Raul Cervantes sent a 20 peso super chat. I don't know if there's a question tied to that, Raul, but if there is, please let us know. Spidey says, quick question. Are you finding chants like Roman Reigns annoying? Personally, I've been finding it distracting and taking away from the match. Listen, I lived through an era of absolutely dead wrestling. I even lived through an era of really good wrestling, especially on the indies. And I'll never forget seeing Jerry Lynn explain it, like some indie and especially ROH fans early on who sat there and they were like, impress me, and barely like made any noise. Not for me. Now, like, I love hearing stuff like that because the comparison is not making noise or the dumbass what chance. So I'll take those chants where somebody in the match is actually being chanted for over any of what I had seen from like 05 to 2021, really. Like, so I think we got it really, really good right now, I would say. Get your super chats, get your humper chats in. A reminder, we are also on audio platforms. And a reminder, follow me on Facebook like it's 2007. I have been debunking fake news. I've been posting a lot of stuff over there. But I've realized a lot of the fake wrestling news emerges from people, quite frankly, taking stuff that I report and lying about it on Facebook. And I've been going through there and debunking a lot of that. We had the Wyatt Six defeating the Street Profits. Some good stuff in this match. There was one spot that was real bad. There were honestly a couple spots on this show that you're like, huh? And listen, if this spot happened in another company, it'd be all over the hate pages. But there was a spot where Montez fell down to get into place for Dexter Lumis to get thrown on him. And I was like, oh, that's unfortunate. That one, not good. But you saw a little bit of dissension, or I don't know, some, I wouldn't even say miscommunication, right? But something there with Montez Ford and Angelo Dawkins very, very early on. And that was Angelo Dawkins like holding Montez back and being like, no. It's me. It's going to be me. And I was like, all right, I guess. But they seem to have been leaning into the fact afterwards that Angelo Dawkins and Montez Ford could split up. And listen, they have been around. They have been together for a long time. People have been calling for this for a long time. I think it is time for them to split up. I think we are at that stage. And I don't even think that they need to like feud or anything. But I definitely think that it's time for them to move on from this, because I don't know what else there is. I don't know how many more "we're up and we want the smoke" promos I need to hear as well. I want to hear what these two can do individually. If they ever need to go back to that, well, then that's fine. I'm completely fine with that. They're a great team. But there's some of the spots in this match. That Doomsday Blockbuster is always something that I'm baffled by the fact that they can do it, for the love of God. Like, that's, imagine thinking that was a spot in the early 90s. Tim says, are the Street Profits breaking up? Seems like Dawkins hinted at it. I did lean in. I meant to ask that or read that question before. But there was the Angelo Swanton as well. And a few years ago, we saw spots like this that Angelo would do. And you could tell he was trying to show people, like, don't sleep on me. Like, I'm good too. And he is. He is good. So I'm hopeful that he isn't like forgotten throughout this. But then again, look at the Acclaimed over in AEW. Everybody thought Anthony Bowens is going to be the breakout star. And well, it's funny because everybody thought Max Caster was going to be. Then people got sick of Max Caster. They split up and people started to like what Max Caster was doing because it was very self-aware. I think that each man has to find something like that. But like, I think that the world also would kind of like to see Bianca and Montez. Sorry for the dead air there. I think that people would kind of like to see that. The day that they go heel together, ooh, that'd be really good. Raul says, question, is it true that Andrade and Phoenix were originally scheduled to be in the match but replaced because Andrade could be injured? He's been off TV since SummerSlam. I've been asking about this. When I asked, I was just told that that match wasn't available. I don't know what that meant necessarily. They weren't willing to expand on that. I was just told that that match wasn't available. I wasn't told that specifically Andrade wasn't available, but that would make sense because he has not wrestled in like a month. But they would have known well ahead of time that Andrade wasn't able to wrestle. Nikki helps Montez, or Nikki distracts Montez, grabs him. He gets hit with the Sister Abigail, and then they do a move called the Plague, which is like the suplex powerbomb neckbreaker type of thing. I think it's the powerbomb neckbreaker. Okay. It was fine. Like, I got no problems with this match, but I'm glad specifically that at least there's a little bit more direction with the Wyatts. You see Bo Dallas going out and talking to some of the members of the tag team division and all that. And honestly, my first thought was, oh, they're just going to give him what Cross was doing because it works for him as well, right? Like, and they very well could, because they have moved on from Karrion Kross. He's not there. He is not coming back anytime soon, I don't think. But I'm more interested in the Wyatts right now than I have been in a long time, because it's like a dog chasing a car with the Wyatts. Like, we all know there's a possibility and there's some interesting things and they're aesthetically pleasing and it's cool and creepy. But then when you get them and they're on TV and one of them's not hurt for a bunch of months or everybody's healthy, it's like, okay, well, what do we do now? And that's a lot easier said than done, especially considering they're not doing the supernatural elements, because you can't really get away with doing supernatural stuff in today's pro wrestling. Everybody knows better. Becky Lynch defeated Nikki Bella. This match left a lot to be desired. They were not on the same page in this match. There were still a few things that I liked. Specifically, I liked the Bella Buster on the stairs. I thought that was very good. I loved Becky Lynch's apparently new finish. It's called the Lynch Pin, and it is a rolling backslide. I am a big proponent of a good pin pinning other wrestlers. I liked it when Darby would do, was it called the Last Supper that he did? That pin was a very, very good one. Bret the Hitman Hart beating Diesel at Survivor Series 1995 is one of my favorite finishes ever. Loved it. Sometimes I think that a really, really good pin should beat a wrestler. And this was a really good pin that beat a wrestler who has not competed a lot. This was, gosh, Nikki Bella's first one-on-one match besides, let's see, Chelsea Green. Outside of that, it was her first one-on-one match since like 2018. And I am glad that she did a match and beat Chelsea Green in order to kind of qualify for this. Somebody said the Mousetrap from Orange Cassidy. Loved that. There were a couple spots, one of which I didn't have a problem with, that actually got more traction online. I had no problem with the Nikki kick getting missed out of the corner. What it looked like to me was that Becky Lynch was supposed to take her spot and feed back into that kick. But Nikki, you can play it off as ring rust. She assumed that, and that Becky has had her scouted for a long time, because Nikki immediately went for the pin. That is a great veteran trick to do when somebody, like a spot doesn't go right. If there's a botch, if there's a slip up, if there's anything like that, you just immediately pin the person. I remember seeing that when Jeff Hardy went to go do a springboard or something and he tumbled and landed on his head. And Shelton Benjamin, not, you know, being right there on top of it, he's like, what do I do? You immediately pin them. You immediately pin them. Somebody mentioned Jeff Hardy and Jinder Mahal. So that spot, if I were Jinder Mahal and I knew it was off by a mile, I just wouldn't have sold it, and I would have said, stay down, and pinned him. He could have kicked out, immediately went twist of fate, and then go into something. So I've got no problem with the kick missing by a mile. The spot on the table where Becky's getting slammed onto the table repeatedly, that one didn't look good. And, you know, Becky's trying to protect herself, but the spot itself didn't look good. So I had mentioned earlier about how there is a formula in WWE. and it's especially PLE formula, and it is signature, 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 signature. Then you steal your opponent's signatures. Then you steal somebody else's signatures. And I say steal again in a way that is not malicious. Nobody steals anything. But that's what happened here. Nikki went into the manhandle slam and the disarm her. And it's like, I think on paper, this match was probably a lot better than it was executed. These two did not have great chemistry here. And again, a big fan of the finish, a big fan of the ambition. But I don't know. You know, also, it seems like the type of thing that Becky would be like, you know what, let me have another crack at this. I know that when Mercedes and Britt didn't have a good match, Mercedes was like, let me have another one. Let me have another one. Let me try that again. They don't want to leave that taste, you know, that bad taste in their mouth. Well, if your sleep is letting you down, invest in it with helixsleep.com/Fightful. I've mentioned this to you guys before, but a number of years ago, I was not getting good sleep. I just wasn't. I slept on a slab of memory foam that I got online, and it just wasn't good. But it was also during the pandemic, and I wanted to get something that reflected the amount of time I spent on my bed, which, you know, ideally is a third of your life, right? So I looked up best mattress reviews on Google, and I found helixsleep.com/Fightful. Before it was helixsleep.com/Fightful, it was just Helix Sleep. But I found, I think at the time, 30,000 plus five-star reviews. Now it's over 50,000 plus five-star reviews. And here's how you do it. You take their online quiz, and you're matched up to the perfect mattress for you, all of your preference. They have plus-size mattresses. They have ones that cool you down, ones that align your spine. And they got free shipping on all orders, lifetime limited warranty, and a 100-night sleep trial. What that means is you can sleep on it for 100 nights, and if for some reason you don't like it, you will like it, though. They will come back and get it free of charge. They'll come to your house, pick up that mattress, tote it out of there, and take it back to Arizona, by golly. They have flexible financing options and a lot of great mattresses. The Core Collection, the Luxe Collection, the Elite Collection, they are always stepping up. They are the same mattress that Good Housekeeping, GQ, Forbes, New York Times, Wired, all put over big time. HelixSleep.com/Fightful. Get 27% off any mattress order using our code Fightful. HelixSleep.com/Fightful. Well, I'm going to ask Luis to take that chat that he sees up there and apply it to that section and the AJ Lee section that we will certainly have in the main event. Good old-fashioned Donnybrook match. Oh, my God, this match ruled. These two fellas needed this match, and they had the match of the night. Sheamus is like 247 years old. He's like, okay, he's 47. He's 47. He'll be 48 in a few months. 48-year-olds are not working the way that they did when I was a little kid, buddy. When I was a little kid, I was watching 45-year-old Greg the Hammer Valentine. And how old was Jim Duggan? I was watching, you know, 41-year-old Jim Duggan and 45-year-old Greg Valentine stink it up on WCW Saturday night. But if you were to name two people that are kind of reminiscent of these two gentlemen, you'd say, yeah, Jim Duggan and Greg Valentine. Like, ideally, they could just go out there and meet each other up, right? People are saying 10 beats of the Bodron. It's more like 10 meats. These two meaty sirloin beef sons of bitches were laying it in. You can tell they were just like, let's go out there and beat the dog shit out of each other and have an incredible match. And that's what they did. This was so good. So good. They incorporated barrels. We need more barrels in wrestling. We need more barrel usage. I thought that we would get more for that Cracker Barrel match years ago in AEW, but we didn't. And look, Cracker Barrel could use the publicity, apparently. Everybody pretended to be mad about that. Sponsor some more barrels. Get more barrels in wrestling. I want to see people get slammed on them, off of them. I want to see submission holds on top of them, like we saw the Accolade earlier. People jumping off of tables or jumping through tables on there. Incredible. More barrels. You know what? Get some, set them at the top of the ramp, roll them down like Donkey Kong. I don't give a damn. I just want more barrels in wrestling. Stuff somebody in a barrel. Throw them off a hill. I don't care. Barrels. Get sponsored by those little root beer barrel candies even. I'm not picky. I just want more barrels. Sheamus and Rusev. Man, you want to talk about an environment driven match. That was this. Also, I love the set tonight. The Eiffel Tower, simple, easy, effective, fun. Made an awful lot of sense to do that. They work in the shillelagh an awful lot. Did anybody here know what a shillelagh was before wrestling? Because I certainly didn't. Before Finley was running around with one of those things, I didn't know what a damn shillelagh was. What's a shillelagh used for? Can somebody in the chat clue me in? Can somebody smarten me up? What is it used for? I need to know the practical shillelagh use, right? White noise off the whiskey barrels through the table was awesome. Rusev slammed Sheamus through like a crate box thing. Like, I don't know what that was, but slammed him through it. Sheamus did the Celtic cross. They were fighting on top of a bar. It was a bar. He like they flipped it over and he slammed him through it. Sheamus cracked him with a knee that was insane. Rusev kicked out of the brogue kick. This match did more for Rusev than any WWE booking has so far. This was the shit. This was incredible. These two gentlemen went out and had a fight, and it was phenomenal. It was fantastic. And like I have long wanted a team where the two big sirloin beef sons of bitches just one-up each other. Like, they're friends, but they're frenemies. And they're like, no, I want to beat this guy up more than you do. Like a little bit of friendly competition there. And I think that could be a fun gimmick. You can't rip off the APA right away, but, you know, the redeemers that are out there to redeem things. Woo. Anybody you saw crapping on this match doesn't like fun. Listen, everybody's entitled to their opinion, but this match was fantastic. And it had barrels. It had barrels. Super chat me about barrels, people. Why are you not talking to me about barrels more? We grew up spoiled with barrels. Donkey Kong had loads of barrels. Nowadays, no barrels. I don't think it's fair. A shillelagh is literally just a walking stick. Well, it's a beaten stick now. Listen, this is what I like. Well, there's nothing wrong with a mid-card match being better than the main event. That's what you want out of your mid-card. You want them to go out there and show up everybody. That way they can show more appropriate spots of which they belong. Completely fine with that. Galron says, how great is it to finish a PLE before 6 p.m. on a Saturday? More of these, please. Well, I wouldn't know because it is Sunday. But I thought it was going to end at 5. I had this thing. I was expecting to be done with the post show by 6. This was a long ass show still, especially for 6 matches. Very, very long. John Cena defeated Logan Paul. You talk about formulas. I had mentioned this before. The John Cena formula led to him having one of my favorite matches he's ever had ever at SummerSlam with Cody Rhodes. I thought that match was art. It is kind of funny. There's been zero follow-up with Brock Lesnar, who FightfulSelect.com reported was in Medicine Hat watching his son play hockey this past week. So, no, I was not surprised there was no Brock. He was in Medicine Hat like 2 days ago. He was not going to make that trip in this amount of time. But this match was particularly interesting because John Cena not only did all of his signature stuff like the STFU and the FU and all that, he took some other finishers from other people. He did the End of Days, which is Baron Corbin's finish, which I would love to hear the chat how they feel about it, because that's a move that Baron Corbin, Tom Pestick, worked very, very hard to protect. One person ever kicked out of it. And naturally, if Tom is gone from WWE, somebody's going to do that move. And it was used as a transitional move. Now, I have long been of the belief it is who delivers the move, not what move is delivered. And my ties to that line of thinking go back to MMA. A head kick from any person isn't always a finisher. A head kick from Mirko Krokop, Pride FC legend, is a finisher. And sometimes, as we saw against Gabriel Gonzaga, sometimes when you do that to the guy that does it as a finisher, it can finish them too. So I'm okay with that. I don't mind it. I did see a lot of people say, oh my God, he stole it and then he bastardized it. I'm like, no, I don't think so. And somebody says a Jake DDT versus anyone else. So I've been pitching this for a long time too. If I were AEW right now, I would bring in Jake Roberts, who they have under contract. I would have him film vignettes and you can't see who it is that he's talking to, but you can tell he's teaching someone the DDT, and not just a DDT, his DDT. And that's what that becomes a finish. You can't tell me that a DDT, a Jake Roberts DDT, can't still be a finish. And then to me, it would be revealed when somebody wins with it. And then Jake Roberts comes out to the stage and like points at him like, you got it, kid. His DDT. His. That's what I want. So I got no problem with John Cena using that. In fact, I saw a lot of tributes here. He did the Styles Clash, obviously tribute to AJ Styles, one of his best rivals, but also he did Angel's Wings. It wasn't a great Angel's Wings, but it was an Angel's Wings. And he did some training with Christopher Daniels back in the day. They were a part of a famous UPW video of which Samoa Joe was also featured on. So I thought that was a really nice homage as well. Logan Paul did a zigzag, which it's interesting because if you land chest first on a bump like that, usually it was, you're selling it. But he hopped right up and did the zigzag. Somebody says Andrade won with the DDT for years. No, Andrade won with a hammerlock DDT for years. It is a different move. Different move. But John Cena also did like his Hurricanrana, which was something he was busting out like in the United States Open days. And he did. I love that they acknowledged it was Pop Rocks now, but it's a move that John Cena did years ago. Code Red, Infrared, can't remember the official name of it, but it was an amazing red move. Shout out to the legend. But I like that they acknowledged that, like, no, Roxanne does that now. It's her move. It's the Pop Rocks. We'll call it that. I thought that was nice. It was a good way to put her over. Logan Paul also did the 5 moves of Doom. John Cena ends up winning. And I thought that John Cena had a fantastic performance. Fantastic performance. No, Sunset Flip is not the name of that. Sunset Flip, you just go over and then you pull on the thighs once you're over, and then you pin them, you hook the legs. This one, you are jumping onto their back, facing away from them, and then you effectively use momentum and hook their shoulders with like your Achilles, your heel, your calves, and cause them to flip. The code red. Line Drive says, Cena's performance was so good it even caught the TNA admin off guard. All you needed was a muscle buster and TNA would be working overtime plugging the archives. Cena had to watch TNA in his prime. Well, I mean, maybe he did, but the Styles Clash, he's seen that move a million times. And the Angels Wings, again, he trained with Christopher Daniels. They were there. But John Cena won his 99th pay-per-view match. That is interesting. So I looked up some of the stats as related to this. Undertaker has the most with 107, which I got to say, it does speak volumes that John Cena, of course, was around for, 23 years, but largely the last 3 years he hasn't been around. Undertaker was pretty solidly around for 30 years, man. And John Cena's right there with him. Undertaker has a much higher winning percentage, though. They're really close there. John, I think Undertaker is 107, 69, and 5 with 5 draws. John Cena is 99, 71, and 4. So nobody is coming up close to either one of those. Seth Rollins has 69 wins, and this is in a day and age where you don't have as many PLE matches. After that, it's like Kofi Kingston at 52, Rey Mysterio 51, Miz 49. They ain't approaching. Cody Rhodes has 48, which is interesting. Cody Rhodes' next PLE match will be his 100th, which is also very rare territory. But yeah, man, I don't think that anybody is ever going to touch 100 PLE. I think we're gone from that because WWE doesn't do as many of them these days. And there aren't nearly as many matches. There just aren't as many matches. I'll tell you a funny one. Dolph Ziggler has 119 PLE matches. He's 35, 82, and 2. Woo! Damn, man. Cyclops is better than Wolverine, says, back when men were men, barrels was everywhere. You damn right. Y'all subscribe to FightfulSelect.com? You should. $5.99 a month. I told you all the stuff it gets you. In our scoops thread today, I noted that a person that I spoke with at ESPN was not exactly thrilled that Stephanie McMahon was promoting VPNs on her podcast, especially as it regards to WWE content. But they said they didn't think it was going to be that big of an issue. They've known about it for a little while, but she should have been promoting NordVPN.com/Fightful. That's what she should have been doing. Just a couple bucks a month on average. You get 2 years plus 4 months free. You might say, Sean, why the hell would I need that? Well, let me tell you, right now, if you're a WWE fan, you need Netflix for Raw, you need CW for NXT, you need SmackDown, USA Network. On PLE days, for NXT, you need Peacock. For WWE PLEs, you need ESPN Unlimited. Maybe it'll work with your streaming system. Maybe not. I don't know. It's very clear to me, though, they're holding off on making the YouTube TV connection and all that because they want you to subscribe to Hulu Live Plus. You ain't got to worry about any of that when you got NordVPN.com/Fightful. If you are a Nord user, pop into the chat right now. Let's Nord up, by God. NordVPN.com/Fightful. I'm going to tell you how it works. You subscribe, you download the app on anything. Phone, desktop, PC, laptop, smart TV, all that. I've been helping all kinds of wrestlers and people in wrestling sign up for this, buddy. You get the app, you change your virtual location. Listen, there's some other content that might be blocked depending on where you are these days. I see a lot of that in the chat too. That helps as well. NordVPN.com/Fightful allows you to change your virtual location. You switch over to the UK, you log into your Netflix account, and it's good to go. And I saw people saying, won't Netflix be mad? Netflix just wants your money, man. That's it. They want your money. NordVPN.com/Fightful. And this is just the basic tier. This is just the basic things that I'm telling you about. They've got threat protection. You can shield your data from snoops and criminals, protect yourself on public Wi-Fi. They have the Threat Protection Pro, a password manager, a file encryption tool. They have 24/7 tech support and a 30-day money-back guarantee. So if you get it, and then all of a sudden your cable system is like, oh, no, we're going to connect ESPN Unlimited there. No harm, no foul within 30 days. NordVPN.com/Fightful. The main event, Seth Rollins defeated CM Punk, LA Knight, and Jey Uso. Yes, it is really that simple. Says, wait, really, Luis? Just need to be from anywhere, everything international, NordVPN, you log into Netflix, you get access to all the WWE stuff. We have zero super chats about the main event and a bunch of super chats about AJ Lee. But let's talk about the match. Everybody jumped Seth Rollins. There were, some spots here and that the table didn't quite break for CM Punk. This was, again, what you would expect. It was like Seth Rollins would go for a stomp, miss, BFT, which, by the way, I thought was a fantastic transition. There was a really great spot where Jey Uso goes for a spear and Rollins catches him midair with a pedigree and is able to hook one of the arms. I love that spot that he does. Love that move. But this is, GTS, get out of it, go into a stomp. Then Rollins stomps everybody. So this is, again, a formulaic situation, and I feel like we saw too many matches on the PLE tonight that followed that formula. It felt like we saw 4 out of the 6 matches followed that formula. But still, I enjoyed the match. And in this type of match, I think that formula actually makes a lot more sense than in Becky, Nikki, and Roman Reigns, Bronson Reed. And it makes sense for John Cena because John Cena has mastered that style. It's his retirement tour, and you go for those pops. In the 4-way, it makes sense because you don't focus as much on the individual selling and all that stuff as you would with 2 opponents, right? Like with this, it is get in a move, get out, catch a breather, etc. There's less camera time focused on those individual spots. So I think that it actually, like if 2 matches had precedent for it, it should have been Cena and Logan Paul and then this 4-way. And I would have had Cena and Logan Paul be earlier in the evening as a result to give a little bit of separation there for that. If you understand what I mean from a psychology standpoint. So I thought that this match was entertaining, but I was sort of like, what's going on here? Cause listen, I'll shout out my dude, Corey Hayes of PWN Body Slam. He straight up said, hey man, there's somebody under the ring. And I'm like, oh, okay. Interesting. And it's going to be somebody tied to the Vision. And I had heard throughout the day that somebody else was supposed to be involved in this match, which you would assume is going to be involved with the Vision. Because again, it's WWE, it's Raw, and they love getting people involved, right? So CM Punk hits the GTS. A lot of people thought it was Tony D. I even posted that thing that he posted from Paris. Very clever, Tony D. Very clever. Hat tip to you. But I love when Punk does the GTS, they bounce off the ropes, and then he catches it again. And the little look on his face where he's like, All right. Here we go. About to finish this. And then a ninja jumps into the ring. Hits him in the nutsack. Just right in the penis, man. Just absolutely gasted his flabbers with that punch to the penis area. And CM Punk down there squealing like a little baby. Becky Lynch reveals that it's her. Seth Rollins had said earlier in the night he was two steps ahead. It's interesting that his two steps ahead are more ahead than The Rock's like 20 steps ahead, right? Interesting. We get the win for Seth Rollins. He and Becky embrace. They kiss. Do you all think that Becky is like a part of the Vision now? Like, is she in the group? Or is it just, well, obviously they're married. Because, listen, she ain't got to be a part of the group. But what would it hurt? What would it hurt having her as a part of the group? Okay, she posted about it. Hell yeah. Let's go. I'm going to go look that up. She should be in the Vision. Okay, she did. She said, we run this business. Hashtag the Vision. Let's go. Michael Higgins says another interesting note when Seth was yelling at Punk in the ring. He said, I hate you and your stupid family. So, you boys at FightfulSelect.com have a report up that I've been working on nailing down for a couple of weeks. But this gave me enough to just kind of go with it. Naturally, and I mean, I had people from AEW hitting me up saying, like, surely there's got to be like an AJ element here, right? And I was like, well, what I can say here on the air is there have been pitches. And you might say, well, Sean, there are pitches about everything. And that's true. There are some wild pitches out there. But what I've heard and reported on FightfulSelect.com was that they haven't been quite shot down with the same quickness as prior. Now, AJ Lee in the past has been courted pretty heavily for a return. She's not wrestled in over 10 years. A higher up that I spoke to said, we got no concerns that she'll be in shape. She always looks like she came off TV. And they also brought up a good point, this higher up that I talked to for FightfulSelect.com. They said, well, she also lives with a gentleman who took like 7 years off and came back and wrestled at a high level. Okay. All right then. Now, pitches for AJ Lee to come back have been nothing new. I was told by people in WOW Women of Wrestling that when they courted her to come in, they'd said, hey, maybe you can wrestle. And she was like, I don't want to do that. I'll do other stuff. But I heard she was very respectful and very helpful to everybody there. There were a lot of people in AEW that would tell me that they would like, you know, the half joking, half serious, like, hey, Punk, we should get AJ Lee out of retirement. Hey, how about it? And there was a point where I thought that Britt Baker could promo AJ Lee out of retirement. Because if y'all remember, at one point, Britt Baker was one of the best promos of women in wrestling. Didn't happen. At no point was it close to happening, from what I understood. And naturally, in WWE, not only are there a lot of women that want her there, there are a couple people still around and that pop in and out that have worked with her, that do know her. I don't know if they've kept in touch with her. I don't know necessarily how that is, but there are certainly a lot of people there that want to work with her. Now, we have more on FightfulSelect.com. I will encourage you guys, please subscribe over there. I cannot tell you guys how important it is to support original coverage. Every single day, I have exclusive news. And I mean every single day. Every single day, I have a Q&A article. Every day. Every day, we have Discord access. Every week, I have a Q&A podcast. Every other week, Grapsody has a Q&A podcast. Every PLE, Alex and Kate do an additional review. We have indie coverage there as well. I cannot tell you how important it is to support original coverage, because one day The aggregators won't have anything to aggregate anymore if you don't support original coverage. So please do that. FightfulSelect.com. But let's read some of these super chats and humper chats. Galron says, if Becky feels threatened by the next babyface challenger, have her be flanked by the Bronze during promos. I like that. Like her as a part of the vision, I think is good. A natural progression. I am all for that. I'm all for that. IbuMania14 says, I wouldn't be surprised if Paige follows given how close she was with AJ. Certainly online buzz around Persephone in WWE. She likes that type of stuff. I could see them going after her. I have no idea what internet buzz you are claiming regarding Persephone and WWE. AEW and CMLL are going to make sure their people are under deals. And Luis mentions Persephone is currently booked for the CMLL 92nd anniversary show on September 19th for the women's tag titles and issued a challenge to Mercedes this past Wednesday. Super Mo says, well, Punk and AJ versus Becky and Seth is a one way to counter WrestlePalooza. I mean, listen. Or that'd be countering All Out. I mean, that would be a monster match to put on. I'm not saying it's going to happen then. I'm not saying that. But if they wanted to counter program AEW All Out, oh boy, AJ Lee's return to wrestling could not be underscored. Like, I know that there's a younger generation of wrestling fans. Like, if you're in your early 20s right now, I don't think that you understand how important of a character that AJ Lee was. And it was in an era where women did not get a lot of opportunities in the ring. But at one point, AJ Lee was the main character of Monday Night Raw. AJ Lee, at one point, was one of the best promos in pro wrestling. Like, she was next level. 2012, 2013, AJ Lee helped spearhead the demand for the women's revolution. Like, she didn't get to enjoy the fruits of a lot of her labor. And that is unfortunate, because the way that AJ Lee conducted herself and the way that she was able to get things over, not just for her, for a lot of other people, the way that she blew up so many programs and made them more important, like, she didn't really get to enjoy the longer matches and all that stuff. And that's unfortunate. And listen, I don't know what she's like in the ring right now. People I talked to on heels said that she seemed like kind of nervous when she came onto that show. And then they said it was like she didn't miss anything at all. And they were like, man, not taking anything away from current wrestlers, but she was in better shape than most of them too. John Wick says, if we get Becky versus AJ Lee for the IC title, I mean, I think I don't know about it. I have no idea about a singles match. I don't know what the plans are. It certainly seems like Becky and Seth versus AJ and Punk is a possibility. But as of the last few weeks, I've only heard of pitches. It's funny, I sent an AJ Lee GIF to one of my sources, one of my friends in WWE, and they sent back a Mr. Iguana GIF. Could Braun Breaker get annoyed by Becky and that causes him to leave the division? Yes, it absolutely could. Absolutely could. Braun Breaker is so very clearly like a top guy. And I think this is honestly a big vehicle to establish Bronson Reed as the top guy too. I miss the era of WWE when it was like a six-pronged attack, and it's Triple H, Kurt Angle, Steve Austin, The Rock, The Undertaker, Mick Foley here and there. Like, that's what you need in WWE, especially if you've got two brands. You need to make sure you've got as many top talent as possible. And there were, you know, there were a bunch of people that when they were like, oh, well, I think LA Knight's going to fall out of the main title picture. I'm like, I don't, because I think you need as many top guys as possible. And right now he's over to that level. I think this has to be a vehicle to establish two additional top talent, because Seth Rollins is going to be a top talent no matter what, forever, forever. G'nay Death says, if not AJ, then Roxy. Roxy versus Becky would be good. No disrespect to Roxanne or Bayley or anybody else in pro wrestling. And I mean anybody else in pro wrestling. If they were to do a mixed tag, Seth Rollins and Becky Lynch against CM Punk and anybody but AJ Lee would be a significant disappointment. Matt says, don't they already have at least six top guys? They have two brands as well. So it's a difference between having, well, it's Raw and SmackDown in 2000 with those top guys. But now you have a very soft brand split. And again, I'll elaborate on my feelings about the brand split. I'm not as adamant that it should be enforced as I used to be, because we're not, how could we believe, oh, well, WWE Raw would work with AAA and NXT, but not SmackDown? So I'm okay with it now, but you want as many top people as possible. That way you can work them in and out of each other. Michael Higgins says, SmackDown is in Chicago this coming Friday. I think we could see a surprise Punk appearance followed by an AJ Lee return. The ending of Clash in Paris screams tag match at WrestlePalooza. To me, that would be a perfect place to do it. That would be a perfect place to do it. Layla Hirsch update. Layla Hirsch contacted WWE a number of months ago. She told them that she'd be interested in doing a tryout as a referee. She did the tryout. I'm told it went well. I don't know what they have told her. She hasn't been brought in as of yet. And she is taking indie bookings. I know that there were some places that had to kind of wait and see what was going on to see if she could take indie bookings, and she is. So that would indicate to me that as of right now, she's not coming in. Boomania says, the thing I wrote about Persephone was a question asked Ryan Alvarez on his X subscription page, and he said, she's got a lot of online buzz. If they get the opportunity to steal anyone away, they'll do it. I think to some degree, I don't think they're just going to take absolutely anybody that comes from AEW. If they see upside in them, I think they will. There's certainly upside in Persephone, but I also think that CMLL and AEW are going to go out of their way to do as much as they can to protect themselves from featuring someone in a big, big spot and then them getting yanked away by WWE. I want to thank the over 14,000 people that are watching right now and encourage you guys again, please subscribe to FightfulSelect.com. Can't believe I'm plugging this on a WWE post-show review. I have spent an exorbitant amount of money to get Alex Pawlowski and Kate to review Freddie Got Fingered, the 2001 Tom Green classic. If you would like to go watch it, it is on Amazon Prime. Alex and Kate review movies on Fightful Select, and I talked them into reviewing a personal favorite of mine, Hot Rod, comfort film, very funny film featuring Andy Samberg. Alex hated it. He was such a curmudgeon about it. And even though I completely disagreed with him, I thoroughly enjoyed his review. He talked about like the rules of comedy. It's funny. It's funny. But throughout this review, which by the way, was the longest Hot Rod review in the history of the world. The history of the world. I thought to myself, I need to have him review Freddie Got Fingered. I got to make this happen. And he wouldn't do it. He's like, why do you want me to review this? And I said, because this movie that I watched, I was so appalled by that I couldn't decide if it was a terrible movie or if it was performance art. And there were some things that I like laughed at it. I couldn't believe they were happening. But to procure to procure this review, I had to spend an insane amount of money that I should not have spent to get Alex and Kate personalized puppets that will be here in late October that they can then use on their very unique review shows that I hope at least their audience will make money back on. But if for some reason you want to sponsor this Freddy Got Fingered review, hit me up. Hit up the Fightful Select Patreon. Hit up one of the Fightful accounts. Drop us a message. Drop us an email on the contact form. Let me know. We're doing it for like $100 a spot. You'll get your link in the description. You can promote your cat if you want. I don't give a damn. We'll do social plugs as well. I'll be doing the ad reads personally because I'm going to executive produce this show. I will be kicking off the show with them and joining intermittently. I know that this is something. Some of you go, Sean, why are you even telling us this? This might make us leave. Listen, this is important to me. This means something to me. Dr. Swagenheimer says the clickbait worked on me and I subbed on the Patreon. Here's a bonus. Cheers. So was it the, is he alive? The other day I did one, hug, no kiss. I'm just doing ridiculous thumbnails right now. But yeah, that review is coming, I think, mid-September. It'll probably be like a Thursday night, I think. Fahim says, stopped watching Raw. The Seth stuff has been bad and predictable. Braun Breaker has been devalued significantly, and he deserves so much more. Hot Rod, thumbs up. Listen, if you don't beat somebody up and say, I've been drinking green tea all day, I don't know what you're doing, man. I understand. I don't think that Braun Breaker's been devalued significantly. I think he's been derailed slightly, Fahim. And I think that is a part of the story that will eventually be told, is that his career. It's a slight derailing, little off to the side. That's what I think. I want to thank all of you all for joining in. Greatly appreciate you. I'm back here tomorrow afternoon talking WWE Monday Night Raw. Till next time, we're out.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.